Hello, welcome to Overburden, the podcast for postal workers. I'm Kevin Hitchings.
And I'm Brandy Hughes. Today we're going to talk about two options for if you are...
medically unable to work.
There you go.
I've heard her referred to as medical retirement before. It's basically when you're disabled and can no longer work and you can move into either the Canadian Pension Plan or Canada Post Disability Plan on a permanent basis. It's kind of an alternative to Article 1010, which basically says that if you're completely incapacitated after a certain amount of time, they can basically terminate you.
Right.
So a lot of times you go through the short-term disability program, the long-term disability program, and I think it's after 10 years, if you're still not able to return to work, people get dismissed. And I think this is an option that people aren't aware of. And it's just something that's an option out there. If this is something that you think might work for you, you probably don't want to wait that whole 10 years or something. I know one member who got on it after only 2 years. So you don't have to go through the whole program. I think it might have been, it was around the 2 year mark. Not sure. And it's just an alternative that's a little less well known that I think anyone, any shop steward should be aware of. Hopefully it's something they'll be asked to use. You know, you don't want to be disabled to the point where you can't work. And these are both options under the Canadian Pension Plan and the Canada Post Plan, where you would get into these one of these programs when you couldn't work anywhere, not just Canada Post. Right. So it has to be pretty severe. So hopefully this is something you never have to use, but something everyone I think should be aware of.
So that time that you're on short-term and long-term disability, like those are counting towards your pensionable service years. But once you get onto this disability pension, you're no longer accruing more pensionable years. So if you move into the Canada Post Disability Pension, then you're still a member of the pension plan. You're just a retired member.
To get onto the plan, you would, of course, have to have medical documentation from a doctor, of course. And it would all be handled by Canada Life, just as short-term or long-term is now. They handle all kinds of disabilities, even when going through the pension. And they would be the ones communicating with the pension plan. You would also have to submit an application to the pension center. And then Canada Life and the pension center would kind of work together.
Yeah, it is a very involved process. Like you start out by contacting the Canada Post Pension Center and requesting the Disability Retirement Application Kit. Once you've done that, you can book a doctor's appointment. When your kit comes, you're going to bring that to your doctor, and you and your doctor are going to fill that out and sign it. Both of you sign it. So the first parts A to E are filled out by you, and then F to K are filled out by your doctor. And your doctor might want to include some of their clinical notes about your condition, just to give more strength to the application. Once that's done, you send it to Canada Life. They're going to either approve or deny your pension, and they'll tell you and the pension center. So you don't send the kit back to the pension center. You get it from them, but then you send the completed kit to Canada Life. If it is approved, the pension center will inform you and Access HR and the insurance company. If you're not approved, you can appeal. Usually you'd be asked to provide more medical information about your condition or to get to see another doctor, maybe a specialist.
And again, just like in our other podcasts, any medical you give would be to Canada Life, not to the corporation.
Right.
You don't have to and don't want to give medical information to the corporation.
And yeah, you're not sending your medical information directly to the pension center. You're sending it to Canada Life.
Right.
If you are approved, you get to choose which official retirement date you are going to use, and you have to confirm that you're going to take out this disability pension within 90 days of being approved. So once that happens, you'll send that in to Access HR. They'll enter the date and the reason for your termination. They'll send you information about the post-retirement health and insurance benefits that might apply to you, or that you might want to sign on for. And they'll also advise you on disability insurance coverage and how, if you did take another job, it could affect your pension benefits.
Yeah. I believe it goes up to 70%. So you, if you take another job, the pension plan will top you up to 70% of what your income would have been under the plan. But it'll never take you up higher than that. So it kind of turns into a top-up benefit. So I guess it's you can work in other places, but in a limited capacity. It's not that you can't work at all. It's that you wouldn't be able to work to your full ability, I guess.
So when you first move onto this disability pension, you might have some amounts owing if you had had any overpayments from your long-term disability plan. So just be aware that that might be an issue. And I'm not really sure how you can avoid that other than checking in with Access HR and the pension center at the start of the process.
The other thing too is they terminate your employment. Basically means you retire, which is a form of termination. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, week's pay we got in advance, if you're around at that time, that would get calculated into here. 2 weeks, I believe, sorry. And any vacation overpayments, all that kind of stuff, just as if you had retired normally.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is something to take into effect. Depending on how much vacation time you use, you might get money, you might lose money, but just be aware there might be an adjustment there that you're not expecting.
Mm-hmm. So the pension center is going to calculate how much you're getting. They're going to process any of those arrears, like what Kevin was just talking about, and any deductions that need to come off.
And you can go to cpcpension.com. There's a pension calculator on there that's kind of a rough guesstimate. It's not going to be exact, obviously, but it lets you run things through a little bit.
Once you start receiving the funds, they come from RBC Investor Services Trust. They'll give you monthly payments by direct deposit. And, of course, they'll deduct any normal amounts and issue you a T4A slip at the end of the year.
One of the really nice things, too, is every January they'll adjust your benefits with the cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
So if the last few years, most of us have effectively had a pay decrease because the cost of living has gone up way faster than our salary. Inversely, though, if, say, the pandemic ends and the Russia's war in the Ukraine ends and cost of living goes down, they do not reduce your benefits.
Right.
So they can only go up, can't go down, which is a huge benefit. You could end up making more than people still working on this plan,
mm-hmm.
really, after a few years of accumulation. One thing, though, with it is you do have to have 2 years of eligible service in to get into this plan, which is pretty low. You know, if you got hired on fairly quick to get, a lifetime disability pension after only 2 years, it's pretty sweet. Also, if you're eligible for an underreduced pension, like you're at pensionable age anyway, then you can't go into the disability plan. You go into the normal pension or the normal pension plan, yeah.
It's also worth noting that if you go this route with the Canada Post plan, there's also the bridge benefit. So that means that you get a little bit of extra money every month until you turn 65 and your CPP or QPP kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's meant to kind of balance your income until you get those benefits that all Canadians enjoy at age 65. Is it still 65 or did they move it to 67?
65. Harper had it in the legislation to move to 67, but literally the first thing Trudeau did when he came in was veto that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The plan was to every 4 years increase the retirement age by 2. Ugh. Until it got up to 75. So luckily that got kiboshed. It was a plan the Conservatives at the time said the Canada pension plan was doomed. And then, if we didn't do this and there were some adjustments made, so it's stable for now, at least should be for the foreseeable future. And we won't have to work till we're 75. They were floating even 85, which is a little bit beyond ridiculous to me.
Forget that. I have a letter that says I go at 60 and I'm not changing it.
Yep. You'd have to be not eligible for an unreduced pension. But if you retired early and you're on the reduced pension, you actually can still get onto this plan. So there are benefits to it, as long as you're under 65, under pensionable age. But if you're on the reduced pension,
So if I stop working for Canada Post before I turn 50 and defer my pension, I could still apply for this later if I become disabled?
I believe so.
That's
it doesn't mention deferred pensions Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you stop working in Canada Post and you have a deferred pension and you're not on an unreduced pension, then yeah, you can just jump straight in here.
Okay, well, that's another backup plan.
Yeah. Gonna start looking for a debilitating injury now.
No.
Nope.
Don't they just happen when you work at Canada Post? You don't have to look for them. They look for you.
So, while you're disabled, and if you're not receiving this disability pension, you actually still accrue pensionable service. So that would be, I believe, if you're on long-term disability or something, I would think.
Yeah, short-term and long-term.
Yeah, you would still be in pensionable service, so it can go up. And, of course, you would still be considered a plan member and everything. And the pension is calculated the same way as if you had an unreduced pension, based on your pensionable service and your highest average earnings. Mm-hmm. So, and it would include that bridge benefit until you're either getting the Canada Post pension plan, you're 65, or, of course, death. Mm-hmm. Whichever happens first. For this to happen, as Bran said, you got to go through the application program. The insurance company, which is Canada Life, has to declare you to be totally and permanently disabled. This is where it's a little weird, because it says you have to be totally disabled, which says basically means you can't work anywhere. But right. Then, as Bran mentioned earlier, it also says if you are working somewhere else, then they basically do that top-up we talked about before. So I'm not really sure how that works. It kind of contradicts itself. I'm guessing maybe this is if you're totally and permanently, but then maybe you unexpectedly recover a little bit, or there's a job with very low requirements and weren't predicting or something like this, or your health just improves, or maybe some new medical technology comes along or something. I'm not really sure. It's just there's a bit of that contradiction here. I imagine that's something you'd have to work out with your caseworker with Canada Life when how that would come up. But at least at first, the criteria is that you'd have to be totally and permanently disabled based on medical evidence. This could be psychological as well as physical too.
Yep.
So no limitations on what, as long as they declare that you would be permanently disabled. So anything that current technology or current treatments couldn't address that just made it impossible for you to work.
This is one thing that's different from the short-term and the long-term plans, because when you're on, or even when you're accommodated but in the workplace, when you're on any of those programs, you often have to update your medical every so often in order to maintain your coverage. Whereas with this disability pension, once you're approved and you're on the pension, you don't need to keep submitting medical documentation. Your condition could change, it could get better, it could get worse, but you're already medically retired, so you don't have to keep proving that you are unable to work.
Yeah, if you're, you know, completely debilitated and then some miracle cure comes along and you're 100% fine, does not matter under this plan. You're still getting this pension forever if you want to.
Yep.
And until you die, but maybe medical technology will prevent that too. Maybe you can just live for the next 42,000 years on disability.
Okay. Getting more and more bionic.
Possibly. We'll talk about the Canada pension plan and or the Quebec pension plan, either one, in a minute here. If you do go that way, you immediately end your Canada Post pension plan. That's one of the ways that this could end. Your payments on this plan would start as soon as you retire. Brand mentioned earlier that you would get it on the date that you predict or the day that you choose. That's when it starts, and would end if you go to the federal one. So the other option is the Canada pension plan. A lot of similarities, but different. Obviously, it's handled through the government rather than through the corporation, through Canada Life.
You still have to be under 65 to be on the disability pension.
Same thing. If you go to the full Canada pension plan, then you no longer need the disability one. So right. It just basically takes over.
You have to have contributed to CPP or QPP. You can't just apply if you've never contributed to those plans.
Right, but this is one that might be for a member who is under that 2 years of service.
Yep.
You know, because for the corporate one, you obviously need 2 years, and that would be based on your pension service with Canada Post. Yes. If, say, you're 50 years old when you start with Canada Post, and you need to be medically retired at 51, you're obviously not going to have much in the Canada Post plan. You're going to want to go with the Canadian government plan, because you may already have 30 years into that.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, you have to have a mental or physical disability that regularly stops you from doing any type of substantially gainful work. So some work that you can be compensated for.
Right.
And the disability has to be long-term or of an indefinite duration, or be likely to result in death.
So that's the interesting one too there, where it says or, not and, or likely to result in death. So if you have, let's say, some incurable form of cancer, and you know you're going to die in 5-10 years likely, even if you're perfectly healthy for 7 of those years, you could technically apply for this plan and be retired and perfectly functional for the majority of that time. I'm sure there's some limitations on that, but of course, you know, they're going to leave that to the caseworkers and whatnot to figure out. But under this, in theory at least, I have a condition called approaching old age. So I wonder if that would count. I'm pretty sure that'll get me eventually if something else doesn't first.
You name a body part, I've got aging that. Yeah.
So, in theory, yeah, it doesn't really specify what, but again, you'd have to apply for it and let the doctors and whatever they call it on the Canadian pension plan side, I'm assuming there's still caseworkers, let them work out what qualifies and what doesn't. And same thing too, this could be mental or physical disability that just stops you from regularly doing any work. And again, a little bit of vague language there. It says, disability that regularly stops you from doing any type of substantial gainful work. So what does regularly mean? Maybe, you know, once a week I am unable to go in. Does that let me, that's regular and stops me. But I would assume that it would be regular long-term, like I'm off for months at a time or something like that. But very vaguely worded. Sometimes they do that on purpose so that somebody can't, you know, sneak between the details and whatnot. It gives them some wiggle room, I think. But it also makes it really hard to tell whether you could qualify for one of these or not. And if you were thinking of one of these, like I say, go on the pension calculator. I think the Canada Post one just actually gives you the formula to calculate yourself. I'm not sure. I've looked at it before, but I don't remember. I would apply for both at the same time, because you could back out of the process. And even if, say, the Canada Post one was going to pay you half what the Canadian pension plan would or something like that, there's no guarantee you're going to accept it for either one. So, you know, a small amount if you can't work is better than no amount. So apply for both. You can always decline one or the other. Especially since the post one starts on the day you designate as your retirement date. Just don't designate a retirement date, you know?
And the CPP plan says that you may be able to have income from a private insurer as well. Just they'll probably reduce the benefits for the one to account for the other. So I don't know if it would actually get you more money to use both. I don't know if it would actually work to use both. This one might not qualify. So again, the Canada Pension Plan has an appeal process. If you are denied and you don't like that decision, you must request that they review it within 90 days of getting your results. And then someone from Service Canada, who wasn't involved in the original application, would review it and make another decision on your case.
Right. I think Brand went through the application process pretty thoroughly. Quickly but thoroughly with the Canadian pension or the Canada Post pension plan there. The Canadian pension plan is a very similar process, except again, you're working with people from the government rather than an insurance company. But it's the same type of thing. You get the medical reports, you fill it out, you submit it. Same rules though, you have to be under 65 and everything, because if you're over, you just go into the regular pension plan. You would have had to have put some money at least into the Canadian pension plan. Although again, they're very vague. It just says you have made enough contributions to the Canadian pension plan, as opposed to the Canada Post one, where it just says 2 years of eligible service. So I don't know why they just say enough. Maybe because the rules change and they don't update every single document in the world.
I'm looking at the maximum monthly payment in the CPP plan and recognizing that it's about half of what our monthly earnings are.
Yeah, the
as letter carriers.
If you max out the Canada Post pension plan, it's definitely going to be far better than the Canada pension plan. But again, it's going to depend where you are, and I would apply for both no matter what.
Half pay cut.
Right. And these numbers are of course going to change, and I don't see the, it does mention January 2023, so it's got to be fairly up to date. If you look at government websites, they don't always update everything as currently as they should. Some sites are. But this one here, the maximum monthly payment amount is $1,538.67. A lot of people in the new pay system are probably going, what do you mean half? That's
yeah, sorry. We're both the old pay system without the tiers. So
the new and the old system max out the same anyway. But yeah, if you're at the top of the pay scale, like us billionaires here, then that would be about half.
To be fair, even if we were on the new system, we've both been there long enough that we would still be at the same rate.
Yes, we would. And again, this one as well, reviewed every January. It adjusts with cost of living. And also, like the Canada Post pension plan, can go up, will not go down. So not that it goes down very often. Like every once in a while, the cost of living goes down. And I could see it happening in the near future. Like we've had a few things really driving it up. It's the corporate greed that's going to maintain it there if it does. Because a lot of companies are using the pandemic, and there's been lots of evidence that they're using this as a test. You know, everyone expects prices to go up, so they're bumping it up, seeing how high they can go before sales start to drop off. And because they have an excuse to test where that limit is, they're using it. So from purely capitalistic greed point of view, I can see why they're doing it, but.
Is that why I'm feeling the urge to go, I don't need that?
Yeah, so that's the thing. You lose those customers. There's always a risk going too far and not getting them back. But, but barring that and companies holding their prices high, when the pandemic is completely done, like I know some people think it is, it's still affecting world markets quite a bit. And the war in the Ukraine, those two things, if they were to suddenly disappear, in theory, we would see lowering the cost of living, but who knows?
I don't know. I think the pandemic was funny in a certain way because, you know, like you're saying, that inflation and rising costs are making people reconsider what things are important to them. But I think there was a period of time there where you would think, oh, I'm out of this or I need this thing, but is it worth it to leave my house?
Yeah, not really.
I drink a lot less Starbucks now.
With the Canadian pension plan too, if you could be getting a survivor's benefit and then getting a disability pension as well, that's totally doable. They can combine. But the maximum is $1,542 as of now, which is only $8.10 higher than the maximum disability itself. So if you're only getting half and half, it might add up to that. But if you're making a lot on one, off of one already, it's not going to make a huge difference. The other thing is it doesn't pay for medical devices and things like that. So it's not like an insurance plan as well. Just because you're medically retired and getting medical income doesn't mean it's a medical health plan. So you're still going to need your health insurance. You still need to cover extra expenses. This would be just if you retired without all those things, although there are benefits you can get from Canada Post after you retire as well. And like Brand said, both decisions can be appealed if for some reason you don't get it. But that's basically, I think we've gone through all we have really. Both with the Canada Post plan, you can go to that website I mentioned earlier, cpcpension.ca, I believe it was. Let me switch screens here. Yeah, cbcpensions.com, actually, C-O-M. Government websites are just a pain in the butt to find anything on. But you can dig around there and find it as well. And I'll see if I can put the link to that one in the show notes. Again, hopefully something you probably will never use. This has only come up. One member I know has been on this. I've seen a couple others look into it. I don't know if they ever got approved, but it's something everyone should be aware of, I think. You don't want anyone to be disabled, but when they do, you want to have as many options as you can for them. And I don't think a lot of members know this exists. And it's just a good thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, and when you're struggling with an injury or with a disability, like it's adding insult to injury if you're worried about how you're getting paid and how you're paying your bills, and whether you can afford the medications and the whatever devices might make your life more livable.
One of the things with if you've gone through any disability with Canada Post is sometimes it's fairly smooth, and sometimes it's a huge, long pain in the butt process. Yeah. And it's kind of sad that, this includes psychological impairment, disability, but the process can be such a pain. So just be prepared for that too. Hopefully it goes through smoothly if and when you have to use it. Hopefully you won't, but it can be a process. And the same with the appeals is everything. But again, hopefully everyone will stay healthy and happy and won't need this. And until then, we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks for listening.
You're a cute little piggy.
I try.
I'm going to put that in the outtakes. You're a cute little piggy.